Chuck Palahniuk, it's Lindsay McDougall. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I understand it's morning there.
It certainly is. Where are you?
I am in the Pacific Northwest, Washington State.
And this is where you call home. And people do still know you best from a novel you wrote in 1996, Fight Club. And do people still ask you where the nearest chapter of the real-life Fight Club is?
No, thank God. They don't even ask me if they can hit me anymore, which used to be the second big question. They now ask if they can tell me their most upsetting secret story that they have never told anyone. And that's because I've told that gut story on tour that makes people faint so often. But it also gives people license to tell me just horrific personal things.
This is amazing. This is like, Guts was a bunch of stories which were real life, which you put into writing, and this has actually caused people to faint at your readings, and then also when they're reading them themselves. Do you know of any other authors that have this effect on people?
Charles Dickens used to read the strangulation murder scene from Oliver Twist, and it would make very tightly corseted, very sort of laudanum society ladies faint. And John Cheever used to read the kitchen table abortion scene from Cider House Rules, and that used to make people faint. But this is the only kind of recent history occurrence I've ever heard of.
I also heard that, speaking of writing and people fainting and stuff, that you found the scene of Divine eating shit quite disgusting.
Oh my God, in the movie, you mean?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess, yeah. So we're talking about, you know, dangerous writing in films and this kind of, that kind of thing.
Yeah, oh my gosh. There is no one that can see that scene without feeling a little overwhelmed and disgusted.
See, it's great because people would imagine that you would be absolutely impervious to this kind of stuff, but there is, I guess, either a limit or, you know, a line that even you can see is quite offensive to you.
You know, with me, it is, it's not a cognitive thing. Some aspect of you that just involuntarily engages in self-defense. And sometimes I think with a gut story that's one of the magical things that happens, but by that point you're so engaged in the story itself because it's got so many laughs up front that you've really, really given up your defenses by the time you're shocked.
That's it, so you've kind of been sort of beaten into it by the laughs, and then that's probably a reason why people faint.
Exactly. Wow. Otherwise, there's no way that they would go that far.
It's a real...
They wouldn't stay with you long enough.
Maybe not a formula, but like a magician's formula to sort of, almost like hypnotism.
Strategy. It's all strategy. Try to teach people the things about writing that I wish that I had learned much, much younger. Mm-hmm. The man who taught me how to write always said that 99% of what any workshop or any class does is give someone the permission they need to keep writing.
Who was the man that taught you to write?
It was a man named Tom Spanbauer, a novelist who moved here to Portland from New York.
Right, and he's also a person that was into this idea of transgressive fiction and dangerous writing.
Tom calls it dangerous writing because really when you start out writing, you have no guarantee of any kind of a reward for your effort. So it's best to write about something that's very confronting and very, very challenging for yourself. So at least you get to deal with one personal issue.
Mm-hmm. And you've had these workshops in dangerous writing. What's involved in these kind of workshops?
People come once a week. We get together on Thursdays, and they bring what they've been working on, and they read it aloud to find out where the laughs are. If people laugh, if people gasp, if people are shocked, if people moan, and then the group discusses the piece.
I'm talking to Chuck Palahniuk about transgressive fiction, dangerous writing, Fight Club, Choke, Guts, and the new book, Tell All, which is, you know, it's different. I haven't got up to too much violence, apart from the humour, which is, I guess, consistent in all your books, and the way of writing that sort of, you know, bends the form of a novel around a little bit. But this novel doesn't seem to have too much actual physical violence in it. There's sort of emotional violence.
The entire second act is physical violence. So, the second act is just one horrific violent scenario after another. So it's there. You'll find it.
That's good. I'm about halfway through. And it's like, you're known for writing transgressive fiction, dangerous writing, but this book is written differently to the others. This one's kind of like, you said, like a gossip column?
Right. Based on those 1930s, 1940s gossip columns. And it's a nonfiction form, so I always try to find some nonfiction form in which to tell my fictional story.
Yeah, right. Now, the two main characters in the book so far, Miss Cathy is the Elizabeth Taylor Hollywood type who, at the end of her life, is living with one woman assisting her, who is the narrator, Hazy. Where do these characters come from?
That's how American movie stars, that's how their lives wind down, is they typically end up in complete isolation, subjected to the control of usually just one person. It's a kind of side of fame that people don't want to acknowledge, this complete isolation and enslavement.
I really didn't know that. I figured that there would be like, you know, hundreds of people around caring for these people, as well as all their mates and stuff. So are there well-known Hazies in real life?
You know, they tend to take that back seat because they tend to inherit everything. But the most famous one would probably be Phyllis Wellborn, who was a woman who took care of Katharine Hepburn for decades. And before that, she took care of an aging actress, a movie star named Constance Collier. So, you know, it just changes from star to star, but each one of them has someone like this.
And most of this book is full of name-dropping, and I read this idea came from one of the stars of the movie version of Choke, Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell, to drop some more names.
Yes.
We were talking, and he caught himself talking about the Jesse James movie he'd been in, and he stopped himself, and he just got so embarrassed, and he said, "All I say is, blah, 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 Brad Pitt, blah, 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 Brad Pitt." And he said, "I sound like I have some kind of Tourette's form of name-dropping syndrome." And it was so perfectly put, I couldn't have nailed it any better, and that's why I had to quote him.
And in the book, all of those names that you did, I get the idea from Sam Rockwell, they're all emboldened. Is that from the gossip column structure?
Exactly. And nowadays, it looks like we think of it as hypertext. But that's how they've always done it in gossip columns.
That's exactly right. You should do an internet version. I know you're very big on the internet version of this, where you can actually click on them all, because I looked on the internet and did actually Google them. They're all real people.
They are, and so many of them are just completely obscure now, and they really don't add anything to the plot. And these people were the Brad Pitt, the Angelina Jolie of their day, and now they're completely forgotten. I found that just so haunting and so kind of comic at the same time.
Yeah, because they really are ghosts. And I guess so all the people are dead, you said, so they can't sue you for what you've said that they've said in the novel.
Yeah, I love that. There's such a strange legal double standard in and once somebody is dead, you can malign them and you can manipulate them and you can exploit them, and they have no rights whatsoever. It's fascinating.
I'm talking to Chuck Palahniuk about Tell All, the book which does feature so many of these names. And you say you use them as cannon fodder, but they are also cannons as well, shooting out these amazing puns and word contractions which you have assigned to a lot of them. Some of my favourite so far, to describe the way old people sit upright, meniposture. And ex-lovers described as happily never afters or wasbins. Are you one of those people that these just spew out of your mouth and out of your mind?
Oh, I wish. No. I just constantly throughout the book, I was trying to invent these phrases, and I was using it as a party game every time I got together with people, trying to come up with these contractions, these new kind of with it little phrases that would suggest what Walter Winchell used to do in the 1940s.
The description of marry Curie to, instead of falling on one sword, to throw oneself on the nearest erect penis.
Yes. So it's wonderful to be able to invent the language as you go along, and I had so much fun doing it with my last book, Pygmy, but I just wanted to do it to a lesser extent with this one.
And also you're writing, you're writing in the past. Was there a main reason for choosing this past era to reflect on?
Number one, I wanted it to be a very kind of cool and collected narrator to contrast with that completely overwrought narrator in Pygmy. And number two, I wanted to set it in the non-specific past so that I could use historical figures ongoingly without getting sued by anybody. And to be able to use people with a certain amount of obscurity. Again, these people who were the most famous people of their day, and now their names don't even occur as human names.
All right, Chuck, the other thing I love about you, and people would have, been led into it in Fight Club by Project Mayhem, is the idea of the Cacophony Society, of which you're a member, which just go around pranking people all the time. Is that still a very active society in your life?
part of it is pranking people. Part of it is kind of delighting people with these big public spectacles. Mm-hmm. And part of it is just throwing these kind of thematic parties that allow people to, you know, be a different person for 2 or 3 hours. And I thought that was just such an amazing group to be part of that I wrote it into Fight Club. I seem to write it into almost everything.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it seems like a great part of your life. I did see an interview where you said you were scared to go to San Francisco because that's where the main part of it is, and they would constantly prank you. What sort of stuff happens to you when you go to San Francisco, Chuck?
Oh, my God, they've tried to kidnap me and take me bungee cord jumping off the San Francisco Bay Bridge. They have shown up as renegade waiters and started food fights during the events. They have run these bizarre ads trying to get people to show up, these newspaper ads, to show up with sort of cross purposes. lots of things.
It's so wonderful. All right, Chuck Palahniuk, the novel Tell All is out now, and the second half of the book apparently is where the violence kicks in. I guess in some way people think you are a pioneer in the idea of writing about violence. Why do you write about violence so much and seem to get a kick out of it?
You know, it's not really violence. I always try to have one component of each book that is a very physical opponent that engages the reader on a very physical level. And you do that with either violence, or a lot of times I do it with sex. Choke, I did it with sex.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I'll do it with illness, and sometimes I'll do it with drugs. So violence, sex, illness, drugs, accidents, the car accidents and rant. But there's always some aspect of the book meant to engage people on that physical, visceral level.
That's great. And so that's all part of the strategy. You know, you get them in with the humor and stuff and then throw in that physical level of stuff. There's going to be another movie at some point. I saw one of the books, Invisible Monsters, the book you wrote before Fight Club, is coming out as a movie very soon.
They've got a screenplay. I'm not sure about their start date for production. Lullaby is actually farther along, but pretty much all of the books are in development at some stage for a movie.
That's great. That means that even more people now will know you by your films. Chuck, thank you very much for talking to Triple J today.
Thank you, Lindsay.